Chapter 3. Requirements. Zeke paced in slow, deliberate circles around Akasha's materialized form, which stood motionless in the center of the room. Hovering above her were numerous floating displays, their glowing contents constantly shifting as they adjusted to face Zeke no matter where he moved. These phenomena, including Akasha herself, were visible only to him. Occasionally, he would pause to glance at the information on the screens, his gaze lingering as his thoughts turned inward. Then, with a faint sigh or a furrow of his brow, he would resume his contemplative pacing. This quiet routine had persisted for hours, with neither he nor Akasha breaking the silence. The reason for their silence was simple. Neither Zeke nor Akasha could devise a clear plan to tackle their current predicament. Each floating display outlined one of the requirements to join the Merchant Union as a council member. Many of them were already crossed out or had a detailed plan added underneath. However, the 3 points that remained had them utterly stumped. In hindsight, the proposal seemed almost absurd. Joining the ranks of the world's most affluent and influential merchants was a feat rarely accomplished in a single lifetime. More often than not, it required generations of effort. Even becoming a regular member of the Merchant Union was a monumental task, yet Zeke was being asked to bypass all of that and ascend directly to their highest echelon. For what felt like the 100th time, Zeke silently cursed the unseen forces that had placed him in this situation. What had initially seemed like a welcome challenge now appeared nearly insurmountable. His gaze drifted to the floating display positioned highest above the rest, the one causing him the most frustration. The text read, "Any prospective member must secure signed trade contracts with no fewer than 3 nations, with terms stipulating a minimum duration of 10 years and a trade volume of at least 1 million gold or equivalent." This was the most pressing issue. As things stood, Zeke didn't have a single contract to his name. While he earned significant profits trading in Tradespire, his connections outside the city were woefully underdeveloped. Even in Koravan, where he held the most sway, he had no dealings with the influential houses. His entire support base was rooted in Undercity, a place populated almost exclusively by outcasts. And even if he managed to secure a deal there, he would still need 2 more contracts to meet the requirement. His gaze shifted downward to the second unmet condition displayed before him. "Any prospective member must have at least 1 Archmage in their employ. The individual must be stationed in Tradespire for most of the year," Zeke sighed. This condition was almost as bad as the first. The only Archmages that could even remotely be considered to be in his employ were the 2 refugees he had picked up in Undercity, but he doubted they would be willing to leave. After all, there had to be a reason they had chosen to live in exile in one of the most desolate places on the continent. Most likely, they were on the run from something or someone. Then there was the 3rd condition he had yet to fulfill, and it was the one Zeke didn't even know how to approach. "Any prospective member must have the endorsement of the royal family of one of the continent's recognized nations." This requirement seemed nearly impossible to achieve within the given time frame. Zeke lacked diplomatic ties to any royal families, and considering his strained relationship with the Empire, securing their public endorsement was a monumental task. Such a move would likely paint a massive target on their backs. Still, it wasn't as though he had no leads. His relationship with Tristan Bloodsword might grant him an audience with Valor's royal family. Similarly, Aurelia Thorsten, a living ancestor, had strong ties to her respective royal line. Lara Sonnenstrahl, too, was a member of Equinox's royal family. The real obstacle was time. Not only did he lack a clear method of contacting any of them, but all 3 were currently stationed on the front lines, making them even harder to reach. With a defeated sigh, Zeke ruffled his already disheveled hair, making it even messier. He turned to the silver-haired spirit standing nearby, her impassive expression betraying nothing. "Tell me you have an idea," he said, almost pleading. Akasha hesitated before slowly shaking her head.
"I'm sorry, host, but there doesn't seem to be a clear way to meet all these requirements. Even achieving just 1 would be challenging, given the time frame."
Zeke's shoulders slumped at the response. It was exactly what he'd expected. Archmages weren't exactly plentiful. Trade agreements required time and delicate negotiations, and royal endorsements were far from casually given. He simply didn't have the foundation to secure any of these within a few weeks. Should he just give up on this opportunity? Truthfully, It wouldn't be the end of the world. He hadn't expected the offer in the first place, and a rejection wouldn't significantly hinder his progress, yet the idea of quitting left a bitter taste in his mouth. But that was not his way. A spark reignited in his gaze. No clear path? So what? Since when had that ever stopped him?
All right,
Zeke began, firming up his thoughts. We'll do the best we can with what we've got. Let's start with the trade agreements. What are our most promising leads? Korovan. Akasha answered immediately.
You could broker an agreement between one of the ruling families and Undercity. Our control over the manufacturing capabilities should provide enough leverage for a deal.
Zeke nodded thoughtfully. That seemed feasible. What else? Akasha hesitated for a moment.
The dwarves might be our next best option.
Why them? Zeke asked.
David has some connections in their capital,
she explained.
Also, they're among the least rigid of the major powers. If the offer piques their interest, we could strike a deal with minimal preparation. The chances of success are relatively high.
Zeke nodded, stroking his chin thoughtfully. What about the third option? Akasha hesitated for a moment before answering.
There are two possibilities that might work,
she said, though her tone lacked confidence.
The first would be the elves. Margaret has been in contact with them for nearly a year now. From her reports, their lands contain materials that could significantly benefit our manufacturing. Even a deal focused on resource procurement on a large scale would meet the requirements for a trade agreement.
Zeke considered her suggestion, though he was skeptical. Unlike the dwarves, the elves were notoriously inflexible. Their long lifespans made them deeply entrenched in tradition, and they were famously slow to make decisions. Striking a deal with them in just a few weeks would be a monumental challenge. And the other option? Zeke asked, hoping for something more viable.
Winter,
Akasha replied. Zeke froze. Would that even count? Akasha's expression remained impassive.
Based on the council's exact wording, yes. Winter is technically a ruler of a nation. His sphere of influence and personal power qualify him under their definition.
Zeke's mind raced. If Winter qualified, he was an option worth serious consideration. The untapped metal deposits within the mountain alone were worth several million gold. Persuading the progenitor to agree to a trade deal would likely be straightforward as well. After all, there was much Zeke could offer in exchange for establishing a trade route. Such a deal could also provide Gravitas and her legion of bloodguards with a purpose for the coming years. The real obstacle, however, was the Deadlands. Sheol's domain was the primary reason trade between the continent and the wilderness was nearly non-existent. The King of the Dead was notoriously unpredictable when it came to allowing passage through his territory. While Zeke had parted with Sheol on relatively good terms, he had no idea how the enigmatic ruler would react to the idea of a permanent trade route being established across his lands. The proposition carried a lot of risks in practice. It might even be easier to bypass the Deadlands entirely using spatial magic. However, that came with its own set of challenges, mainly the high costs. It would significantly reduce the trade route's profitability. But for Zeke, that wasn't much of a concern. He only needed the contract to be valid on paper. Even if he decided not to go through with the trade in the end, by the time he joined the council, it would be too late to stop him. A smile slowly formed on Zeke's face. This could actually work. At the very least, it was a solid starting point to build upon. No matter how he thought it over, Zeke realized it would be impossible to accomplish all of this on his own. There was only one sensible option. He would need to delegate. First, the deal with Korovan. It was the simplest and most straightforward of the three. His forces there were the most capable. He would entrust David with the task of brokering the deal. With the support of three archmages and the full might of Undercity behind him, Zeke was confident in David's chances of success. Next were the elves. While he didn't hold much hope for that route, it wasn't something he could rule out entirely. He would contact Margaret and instruct her to do everything she could to secure a deal within the given time. If she succeeded, it would only benefit him. There was no harm in trying. That left Winter and the dwarves. These were the two tasks he couldn't delegate. For one, he didn't have anyone stationed with the dwarves anymore. He also felt the dwarves would respond better to a personal visit from the head of the house. Though they were easygoing by nature, pride still meant a great deal to the stout artisans. A personal appearance would certainly help his cause.
Winter.
However, was even more of a personal matter. The progenitor wasn't someone who could be convinced any other way. It was highly likely that an envoy wouldn't even get an audience. Winter was a prideful being, and any sign of disrespect would sour negotiations. Zeke knew he would need to handle this personally. The real question was, did he have enough time to do both of these things and still make it back to Tradespire in time for his hearing? Would he be able to meet the other requirements along the way? Honestly, Zeke had little hope of succeeding, but he knew that waiting around would get him nowhere. Inaction had never led to success, and if he didn't try, his chances were as good as zero. He would have to give it his all, and hope fortune smiled on him just a little. Time, however, was the most pressing concern. Every second wasted brought him closer to failure, and he had already squandered too much time. His resolve hardened as he faced Akasha. Send out the orders. Also, try to contact Tristan, Lara, and Aurelia about the endorsement. Akasha nodded wordlessly, already taking charge of the details. Zeke trusted her to handle the tasks without needing further instruction.
What will you do, host?
She asked. Zeke paused for a moment, deciding his next move. It didn't take long for him to come to a conclusion. I'll visit the dwarfs. They're the biggest variable right now. If I can't convince them quickly, there's no chance of success. Akasha nodded again, clearly agreeing with his plan. Fortunately, the dwarfs had their own teleportation gate, making the journey straightforward. Zeke's heart raced with excitement at the thought of finally visiting the dwarven capital, a city renowned for its artisans. Their mechanical craftsmanship was legendary across the continent, and he could only imagine the marvels waiting to be seen. But there was another reason for his visit. In Korovan, he had discovered that the cube-shaped Geiger relic he'd found years ago contained an engraving in an ancient dwarven dialect. He suspected that the capital would be the best place to learn more about this long-forgotten treasure, once believed to be a holy relic. After years of stagnation, it was finally time to uncover the purpose of this artifact.